Father, I love you. Thank you for today, Lord. I thank you for just being the Lord. Lord, we try our own way so many times. We get in the way. We muddy things up. You know, we try to do our best at ministry or whatever we would call it. And Lord, we just get in the way. And so I just pray that we would acknowledge you for who you are. You are the Lord, and we submit to you. We follow you. And we just need to stay focused on that. And so, Lord, I pray you would just speak today. Just like last week, I have a lot of things that I personally would like to say, and those things get me in trouble. So I pray that you would just remove me from the way, and you just speak these things as we kind of try to wrap our hands around just your vision for us as the Passpoint class and as the church as we step into just this next season of ministry and of life in the church. And I pray that it would be clear. I pray we'd be convicted. Lord, these are some things that I've been following the Lord for a long time, and they prick me at my heart. We can't be content with where we are, but we always have to be focused on where we're going and where you're taking us. So I pray that you would just speak to us today. Allow your words to be exactly what needs to be said. In Christ's name, amen. Okay, if you got your Bibles, open up to Mark chapter 4, and we're going to get there. And a lot of you were here last week, but this is kind of tying on to where we were last week, and I'm going to do my best to review everything I said last week in about 5 minutes, because I really need to tie this together. Hopefully you were here, and if you weren't here, hopefully you listened to it on the podcast, but I want to make sure that I get to basically where we ended up so that we can get to where we need to go. Just so you kind of know what's happening next week. Paige and I will be here, but Tucker's teaching for me, so I'm just be here for that. Tucker, he actually told me, he's like, Tucker's just super humble. He's always like, "What do you want me to teach on?" I'm like, "I'm not your priest, man. You can teach on anything you want." And he's really excited about what he's teaching on. He's like, "This is maybe the biggest thing that's changed my life since I got saved." And so I'm excited I get to be here to hear it. But anyway, Tucker will be here next week. And so just be praying for that. I wasn't going to say anything, but I'm preaching next week. I don't love preaching. It intimidates me. Main service. I don't mind teaching Passpoint because I can say things like what I said last week, and some of you guys know what I'm talking about and not get in trouble for it. But anyway, I covet your prayers because it's like spaghetti noodles in my head. There's a lot of really good things, but if I can't figure out how to line these things up, it's going to be weird. So, yeah. So anyway, just be praying for that whole thing. So I realized very quickly that I needed somebody else to teach Passpoint that day because I got too much going on. All right. So back to this. Last week, I titled it, "Are We There Yet?" And I used the, just kind of the example of, you ever been on a car ride with children, especially a long car ride, and, you know, you're not very far, and they're like, "Are we there yet? When are we going to be there?" And, you know, this whole thing. And I kind of use this analogy because what do we do in those situations? We try to give them things to, like, look for. You know, when we get to this town, then we're halfway there. You know, we give them landmarks, something to strive for, because if not, they get overwhelmed. And they just like, "Oh my gosh, just take me home. I don't want to go anymore." And okay, so I use that example because our spiritual walk with the Lord is the same way. God has really large plans, and He would like for us to be a part of them. But if He was to tell you, "You're going to have to do this, 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 and this, and you're going to have to go through this, 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 and this before we actually get there," if you're like me, you'd be like, "Never mind. You know, I'm not that interested. That seems like a lot of work. I just don't want to." So instead, this is what He does. He says, "Here, this is what I want you to focus on. Do this. Strive for this. Go this way." And we're like, "Okay, I think I can do that." And typically we, you know, instead of just straight line, we go this way and that way, and we finally get to there. And then God's like, "Okay, now I have this for you." And that's what our spiritual walk is. Just one step after another, just simply being obedient in what He has called you to do today. And, you know, that's kind of the whole thrust of where I'm going, because as we finished up 2024 and as we go into 2025, what is it that God has told you to do? I'm not talking about corporately the Passpoint class. I know what God's telling us to do, but what has He told you to do? Like, in your own life, what are you supposed to be obedient to? And so I had three examples last week, and I'm going to go very quickly, of Christ growing us along the ride, because that's what we do with our children. We grow them along the ride. And, you know, I used Romans 12, 1 and 2 with the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. He grows you through those things, right, from one stage to another. I used the passage out of John chapter 6 that we used for the pass point class where, you know, we are past the point of no return for Christ. We can't just go back. And, you know, sometimes we're you go from offended to really we don't believe, and some go back, and then some who believe, and then there are some who are sure in the Word. And that's what we're striving for. And then the last one I used out of Colossians chapter 2 was, you know, just growing to be spiritually mature. And again, you can go back and listen to this. I got to get to today's stuff. But, you know, you go from receiving to walking to being rooted to being built up to being established to abounding. And then, you know, what we're really striving for is to be complete in Christ. You know, that should be our strive, is to be complete. And so here's kind of where I ended on the whole thing, because it's easy to say, hey, just do this, right? In a classroom setting or something like this, it's easy to say, well, if you would just do this, this, and this, then life wouldn't be that hard. Following Christ wouldn't be that hard, right? And so as we continue to grow, as we continue to want to be closer to Christ, we just have to be who God has called us to be. Just today, whatever that is. I understand that some of us have large plans. God has put large plans in your life. But that doesn't negate the fact that you have to be obedient today. And so here's kind of where I ended, right? That sounds pretty simple. But I told you, I'll say the hard part out loud, right? This thing that everybody else is thinking, that all sounds great in theory, but when you get real life circumstances, when you mix my job into it, when you mix my rebellious kids into it, when you mix my family into it, when you mix, you fill in the blank, when you get all that in there, it's probably unattainable. Being as obedient as what you're telling me to do, that's probably just not as easy as what you think. And well, I knew you were going to say that, because those are the excuses that I make. And so I told you, hey, God has actually showed me something, and I want to share it with you, because we actually get to decide what that looks like. And so that kind of brings us into today. And, you know, we're still the same title, same, you know, are we there yet? That's what we're going for. I just want to show you the how, right? It's easy to say, just do those things. But you don't know what you don't know, right? And until you learn how to do those things, you're just left hopeless, right? And so let me just ask you a really simple question. And I already know what your answer is going to be, because you're here at 9 o'clock and, you know, you're super spiritual, because, you know, that's just what you guys are. You're super spiritual people. But think about this a little bit. Do you trust the Lord? Like in your life, do you trust the Lord? Do you believe that God is who He says He is? Do you believe that God can do what He said He can do? Like, do you really believe that? And you don't have to answer me. Just remember your answer, because we're going to get back to that. Flip over. I told you to go to Mark chapter 4. And so I will say this. I was going here before Brian preached last week, right? I actually wasn't in service last week, but I flipped the TV on because, I don't know if you were here last week, Brian was a little windy, and we were getting kind of, we were getting late, and we had the kids, and there were a lot of kids, and I was like, is he still preaching? And I flipped the TV on, and like, there's still points on, and I'm like, he's teaching on the sower, and I'm like, that's where I was going, and so I have no idea what Brian said. So if this is the same, I really promise I didn't completely, you know, copy it, but if it's not, then whatever. I actually haven't listened to it yet, but I was going here anyway. And so the question that I have for you today is how is your ground, right? How is the soil of your heart? Because it's really, what are you laughing at?
I was going to say, that's the message. But his was in Luke chapter 8.
Yeah. Oh, I promise. I promise. I have not listened to that yet. But here's my question, because, you'll see why in a minute, because it ties into what we were talking about last week. How's the soil of your heart? Because all of the things that we do, a lot of it's head knowledge. I need to be here at this time. I need to do this. And, you know, we're task oriented people. But if those things don't ever make it and get rooted in your heart, nothing's changed. You're just going through the motions. You're someone who shows up at church and you're just going through the motions. And I just tell you, I'm not interested in that. not in my life, and I'm not interested in that for your life. And if like that's where you're at, this probably isn't the place for you. And I don't mean HBF, because I don't want to be the one that runs you out of HBF, but I'm going to tell you, Passpoint's probably not the place for you. Because I'm interested in taking people who are serious about the Lord and allowing the roots to be so deep that they can't go back, that they can't return to the old way of life. And so anyway, we see in this story, and I'm going to read through it here in a minute, but we see in the story that like there's four different kinds of soil, right? And so there's the wayside soil, there's the stony soil, you know, there's the thorny soil, and there's the good soil. And I'll read through it if you've never heard it, and we're going to move quickly because this is a pretty common story. Most of you have probably heard this before, but so in, excuse me, in Mark chapter 4, in verse 1, this is Jesus. It says, and he began again to teach by the seaside, and there were gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship. And he sat in the sea. And the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. So basically, he's on this ship, it's not very far out, and he's using the ship as like a platform, a stage, to preach to all these people that are on the shore. So that's kind of just giving you the gist of what's going on here. There's a lot of people following this dude around. He's doing miracles. Some of them are there because they want something from him. Some of them are there just to see if it's really real. Who knows? There's a lot of different people that come to Christ for a lot of different reasons. Some of them are pretty genuine and some of them are pretty superficial. And I'd say the group is the same way. But anyway, so that's kind of what's happening. And he taught them many things by parables. And he said unto them in his doctrine. So he starts this parable. He says, hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. Now, we don't call it a sower anymore. This is a guy planting seeds. Okay? And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside. And the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth. And immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. And when the sun was up, it was scorched. And because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns. And the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And others fell on good ground and did yield fruit, that sprang up and increased and brought forth some 30, some 60, and some 100. And he said unto them, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And we'll get to the second part of this in a minute. But he kind of says there's these four different kinds of ground. Now, this is a completely side topic, and I don't have time to, you know, work this thing in. But if you're somebody who is doing the reading plan this year, there's some of us that are going about this reading plan in those four different ways. There are some of us that the seed is there, but I'm just saying you need to decide which kind of reader are you, because those are the things. Those things are going to happen. But I don't have time to work that thing in. You can figure it out on your own. I really wanted to, but I can't. So anyway, there's four different kinds of soil, and I'm going to just kind of work through these just a little bit. Obviously the soil, we're talking about people. We're talking about people's hearts. I'm talking about the soil of your heart. I'm not talking about this parable per se. And so we're working on the heart thing right now. And so there's four different kinds of soil in your heart. So there's the wayside soil. Now this could be somebody who's lost, right? If you're lost, the soil of your heart, it's not even in the field. Okay? I get that. But I'm guessing that most of you who are here on a Sunday morning in the Passpoint class, you probably have some sort of relationship with the Lord. So that's the direction I'm going here. Okay, so maybe you're saved, but you've backslidden. That happens. People get saved, they follow Christ for a while, and they backslide. They fall away. And I'm not talking about just coming to church every night. I'm talking about they just completely backslide. They're not in the field. Okay? They're not in the field of the Lord. I mean, yes, they're saved, but, you know, they're backslidden. They're completely out of the field. You know, you ever seen the bumper sticker that says not all who wander are lost? You know, you ever see that? I mean, that's very true. But I would also say all who wander make a choice. They've made a choice to become the next meal of the bear, right? Or the wolf or anything else. You made that choice to walk away, right? You might not be lost, but you have made a logical choice to step out of the will of God, right? Not all who wander are lost, meaning they're not out of the family of God. You're right. There are some people who are out of the will of God, and it doesn't mean that they are down for hell. It just means that they've made a choice that for any wickedness that comes upon them, they've asked for it. Right? If you are a Christian and you know better, and you're going to continue to live in sin, you have no right to complain when lightning strikes you. Right? You actually ask for that. Now, I understand that, you know, God is gracious and he's merciful and all those things, but he will only allow you to blaspheme his name for so long before he's like, okay, this might hurt for a minute, but one way or the other, I will get your attention. I've been there. I've done that. You know, I've bought the t-shirt. I promise it is not worth it. And so just realize that, you know, there is people who, you know, have the wayside type of soil, and it doesn't mean just because they're lost. They've just chosen to walk away. Now, with all these types of soil, there's hope. Okay, we got to move on. So there's the stony soil. You know, you're actually in the field, right? As you read this parable, they're in the field. But there's obstructions. There's things in the way. You know, it's hard to make room for good things in your life to grow because you have these other obstructions in your way, right? It's really hard for God to take root in your heart and in the ministry to really take off because you've got all these other things that are just, they're kind of there and they're heavy and there's really, it's going to take a lot of work to move them. And so you've got stony ground in your heart. Okay. That happens, right? The godly things have to work around your hard, settled in obstructions of life. Okay. He says there's thorny ground. The soil here actually isn't that bad. The soil, it says that they take root just fine. Right? But here's the problem. And I don't know if this is or isn't our problem. I would say this is American Christianity's problem. You can decide if we fit in that boat or not. The soil here isn't bad, but the husbandman, the keeper of the soil, they're lazy. They're just lazy. Right? The seed grows here, but so does anything else. Right? Have you ever planted a garden? Like, it's really cool. This stuff starts to grow and it's like, wow, this is awesome. And you go out there the next day and it's like, what is all this other stuff? I didn't plant that. You know? And it's just what happens. The seed grows here, but so does anything else, right? The weeds grow here, right? The things that you planted last year somehow are growing here again, and I didn't plant that here this year. This is where, it's not in its rightful place, and I don't know what's happening. And, you know, then you come back out the next day, and now it's taller than your plants, and it's like, I don't know what I should get rid of and what I shouldn't. And, okay, let me just tell you, there's only one thing can rule your heart at a time. You might think that I've got room for a lot of things. No, I'm telling you, there's only one thing that can rule your heart at a time. There can only be one person sitting on the throne of your life at a time. There's only one person that gets to be Lord. And we're you're probably thinking a lot of different things, you know, different people, different. Let me just tell you, it's either the Lord or it's you. We don't allow anybody else to sit there, right? Nobody else sits on the throne of your heart. You might have important people in your life. You would never give them the throne, right? It's either the Lord or you, right? Because if it's not the Lord, you think you're the rightful owner of that thing, right? And so either only one thing can rule your heart. You have to decide. Am I ruling this thing? Or is God ruling this thing? That's just a decision you have to make. Right, well, the verse in Joshua, I don't have time to go there, but, you know, Joshua says, choose you this day whom you're going to serve. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. He's like, I can't tell you what to do. I mean, I can tell you what to do, but you're not going to listen anyway. I can't make your decision for you. I can't want it for you. I can give you the right instruction, but you have to decide who you're going to serve. Right? Is it the gods of this world? He says, you know, the Amalekites, and he said, is it going to be the Lord? Who are you going to serve? As you're evaluating your heart, who are you going to serve? But Joshua's like, you know what? Here's what I will tell you. I'm following the Lord. You want to follow me as I do that? 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. You want to do that? Okay. But if not, I can't want it for you. You have to decide. In the New Testament, it says you can't serve God and mammon. It's one or the other. Who are you going to serve? Okay, so there's wayside soil, there's stony soil, there's thorny soil, and then there's good soil. Okay, that's pretty basic. You know, it's nourished, it has the things that it needs, it's manicured, it's taken care of, right? It's watered when it needs it. Interesting that this is, you know, the bread of life, this is you know, the water of life, all those things. I'm sure it's a coincidence that if we get out of the Word, our life just goes haywire. And when we're in the Word, everybody's like, yeah, things are just going really good right now. I'm sure it's a coincidence. Maybe just keep reading and see if it continues. I don't know. I'm just throwing that out there. So there's good soil. Okay, so what does this have to do with me doing what God told me to do? Because I told you that today I would give you the answer to, like, how do I actually do that? Because I want to do that. I'm guessing that you guys want to do what God told you to do, right? I'm just guessing. If you don't, maybe just don't tell me that, and, you know, just don't come back. I don't know. But I'm guessing that since you're here, you at least want to do what God told you to do. Like, that's the goal. Like, I do want to. Now, I understand I've got obstructions, I've got these different things, but I do want to. Let me just answer these two questions, not to me, as blatantly honest as you can. Like, this isn't one of those, hypothetical. I'm saying, like, to yourself, answer these just as blatantly honest as you can. What kind of soil does my heart have today, right now? I just gave you a little, like, you know, tidbit on each of these four things. What kind of soil does your heart have right now? Just evaluate your life the best way that you can in 5 seconds. Where do I fit? And then let me ask you this. What kind of soil do I really want to be in my heart? Because I'm guessing, for a lot of people, they're not the same. I'm guessing that we would at least desire to have the good soil, right? That's at least the goal. Typically, you know, you might not, if you're in the wayside, you're not just like, well, hopefully I can at least have thorny soil. Now, if you're going to strive for something, at least strive for perfection, right? If you're going to strive for the mastery, right, to get the crown, as it says in the Word of God, that you're going to go all in. So how do you bring those answers together? Well, that's why I wanted you to come today, right? How do you actually do what it is that God has told you to do and not fail at it? And not trip and fall. Not feel like a complete and utter failure like I do sometimes, because every time God says to do something, I feel like I drop the ball, right? That I don't get it done. How do we bring these things together? I asked you earlier, do you trust the Lord? I mean, most of you, I'm guessing, are saying yes. Maybe you don't. But do you trust the Lord? Do you believe that He's God? Do you believe that He can actually do the things that He said He can do? Because if you do, the answer is very simple. Now, if you don't trust the Lord, I guess go through another cycle of working at it, trying your best, and when your forehead hurts from the asphalt, come back and we'll try again, right? And I'll ask you again, do you actually trust the Lord, right? And because those things have to happen. You have to come to two realizations. I actually believe that God is who He says He is, and He can do what He says He can do, okay? You have to come to that. And you have to come to the realization that I probably haven't arrived. I'm probably not where God desires for me to be. And so if you know that there's growth that can happen, and you know that God is actually God, and you're not, well, the answer is very simple then. But if you don't have both of those things figured out, this won't make any sense. Because you're making provision for your flesh already. You're making a plan for the car to die before you ever get there, right? You don't ever expect to get to the destination. Like, you're just hoping that you make it to the next exit. Okay, what I'm saying is we have to strive for the end goal, right? And that is what Christ has called us to do. Not something close to that, not something similar to that. We have to strive for obedience. Like, this is what He said to do. And so, if you're not just making provision for your flesh, just expecting the car to break down, and you believe that God actually can get you there, all right, here's the answer. If He's called you to do it, He'll get you through it. 1 Thessalonians 5:24. Right? What does that verse say? Somebody tell me. That's exactly right. Faithful is He who calleth, you also do. If God is going to call you to do something, then why do you expect to not arrive? If He's called you, He'll get you through it. Right? He will do the work. Now, He will do the work. But let me throw this in there, because this is where there's some confusion. What's the difference between salvation and sanctification? Very quickly. Somebody. Man, I know I've taught this a lot of times.
something.
What is the difference between salvation and sanctification?
Sanctification is set apart.
Yeah, the word sanctification means set apart. Okay, so salvation happens in a moment, in an instant of time, right? Salvation happens when you call upon the name of the Lord. Sanctification happens from the day you get saved until the day you die. It is growing to be more like Christ every day. Okay? So let me say it this way. And this might perk some people's... Sometimes when you hear somebody say something, you're like, I don't think that's true. And it perks your interest. Let me say this and then I'll explain it. God saves us without our works. That's pretty agreeable, right? God does not need you to do anything. He did all the work on the Christ or the cross. God sanctifies us through our works. Right? You're saved without your works, but you're sanctified through your works. Now, God does those for you and through you, but you actually have to go through the motions of doing them. Let me just clarify it. If God did all the work in our sanctification, we would all look the exact same. We would all look like little Jesus robots because God is perfect. And so if He did all of it, then we would all look identical, right? Because we would all be perfect. But somewhere along the line, I've failed a lot of times. And that starts to mold who I am in my obedience to Christ over the years. That's why some people, when you look at them, you're like, man, the Apostle Paul, like if I could just be like that guy, he didn't fail as many times. And so he looks a little different. And then there's other people that you're like, man, if they ever made the right choice, then maybe they would start. And I'm not pointing any fingers. I get it. But, you know, your obedience defines what your sanctification looks like. Okay? And so we play an active role in our sanctification. You can't just pray to God one day like you do when you get saved. You pray to God and you're like, God, save me. And He does it completely. It's done. There's no more work that has to go into that. You're saved. But you can't just pray to God one day and say, you know what, God? The same way that You saved me, could You just sanctify me? Could You just like perfect me? That's actually what I desire. Can You just do that? And He's like, well, I can, but there's some things that you're going to actually need to do to make that happen. Right? You actually have to go through the motions. Right? You have to go through what it looks like to be in the ministry, to go on a mission trip, to do these things that actually grow your heart, right, and your actions. And so, if God did all the work, we would be little robots, right? You play an active role in preparing the soil of your heart. And this is where I'm trying to get to. Any soil type can be made good. It can be made good ground if you're willing to put in the work. Now, I understand some of it might take more work than others, right? If this field is completely full of rocks, you might just say it's better off to not even go there. But what I'm saying is if your heart's completely full of rocks, that's the only one you got. You know, it's one thing when a farmer's got 10 fields and he's like, well, this one, it's not going to work. And so I'm just going to let it go and I'm going to focus on the other 9. You've only got one heart, right? You've only got one heart. And so I'm saying, you can't just forego it for another one. You might as well put everything you got into the one you have, right? And put the work into it. Any soil type can be made good ground. So let me just explain what this looks like. Let me read the rest of this parable. And you guys have heard it, but I'm going to read very quickly. And He said unto them, verse 13, know you not this parable? Then how do you know all parables? The sower soweth the word. He's talking about getting the word out. And these are they by the wayside, when the word is sown, and when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise, which are sown on stony ground, who, when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness. Yes, Lord, that's what I want. Verse 17, and have no root in themselves, and so endure for a time, and afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they're offended. And these are they which are sown among the thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and deceitful riches, and the lust of other things, entering in, choke the word, and become unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, and receive it, and bring forth some 30, and some 60, and some 100. Right? He kind of explains the whole thing. The sower is us getting the word out. And the different types of ground are people receiving the word. Okay, that's what the parable says. We're talking about the soil of our heart, okay? And so how does that apply to us? Well, let me just work through this thing just a little bit. Because we can have any kind of soil that we want if we believe God is who He says He is. The wayside soil, it says the biggest problem here is Satan. Now, I'll say the same thing that I told the D2 class on Wednesday night. Spiritual warfare is a real thing, right? the battle between God the Father and the God of this world, Satan, it's a real battle. And we, at times, are put in the middle of that. And we go through persecutions and different things along those lines. Let me just tell you, as blatantly honest as I can. So this is like one of those things that I probably wouldn't say when I'm preaching on Sunday mornings, right? But I'll say it in here.
Oh, you weren't here in YouTube.
It's not that... Yeah. So, most of the time, Satan does not have to attack you. Because you're dumb enough to get yourself into all the things on your own. Like, we are so into ourselves, and we are so wrapped up in our own little world that, like, Satan doesn't, he might throw a temptation your way and know that, like, they're good for a couple years, right? It'll take them years to figure this out, right? Yes. I mean, we get in our own way. The battle with our own flesh. Satan doesn't have to do anything. We're like, oh my gosh, if Satan would quit attacking me, if you'd quit doing stupid things, like, then Satan might actually take notice. But right now, he doesn't even have to. Now, I'm just throwing that out there. There is spiritual warfare. It really is. But I'm just telling you, for the most part, we do a good enough job of screwing our own lives up. He doesn't have to get in the middle of it, right? Just throwing that out there. Maybe not in your life. Yeah, I may have been a little... I think I said idiot and a whole bunch of... Anyway. Yeah. Anyway. How did Christ battle the attacks of the devil when the devil tempted him, right, on the mountain? He did it over and over again. What did he use?
Scripture,
the Word of God, right? You want to know how, if you've got this wayside soil in your heart and you're not even in the field and it's just broken, you want to know how you're going to battle those things? It's the Word of God. Stop trying to fill whatever void you've got in your life with anything else. With people, with things, with, you know, lust of the world. And there's only one thing that will ever give you fulfillment and contentment. And it's this book. Right? Now, there are other things that come alongside of that. But if it doesn't start and end there, then the other things that you think are going to fulfill you will work for a season. And then you're always going to be left in the same boat. Empty. Right? Alone. Unfulfilled. You're going to always come back to, like, well, it's, even though I have this now, I still feel it. It's because you don't rely on the Word. That has to be your fulfillment. And if it starts there, then the other things can, like, it's kind of like ice cream. The other things kind of fill in the cracks, right? But...
You're never too full, right?
Yeah, you can eat and be so full. And if somebody's like, do you want ice cream? And I'm like, I probably could have a little bit of ice cream, right? It just fills in all the cracks. Like, yeah. So, if you're somebody who battles with, you know, false imaginations, or if you're somebody who battles with whatever it is in your life that it seems like it's the constant battle, what does Scripture say about those things? Casting down false imaginations. Memorize that verse. You know, if you're somebody who struggles with, you know, just making things up in your head, and, you know, I do that. Like, I there are monsters in my head. And I don't mean, like, big hairy monsters. I mean, like, I just expect the worst out of every situation. Like, and if I would just see it for what it is. You know what the Bible says about those things? You know, whatsoever things are good, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are pure. Memorize those things. And then that way when these things start popping up, you can immediately, bam, I know what the Word says. I don't even have to go there. Right? Guys, if you were at the men's breakfast yesterday, you know, a lot of us, we got problems with our eyes. If you know immediately when your eyes wander, like, hey, no, I'm going to think on these things. I don't have to go there. Ladies, we've got struggles with emotions and different things. I'm telling you, if you know what the Word says and you know what your struggles are, as soon as your mind goes there, you can immediately say, nope, this is what the Bible says. And you don't have to follow through those. I'm just saying, the Word of God is how you attack those things. It's no other thing. There's no other fulfillment other than the Word. If you've got wayside soil, that's where it starts. If you've got stony soil, the biggest problem here is lack of root. Right? There's no depth. That's what it says. So how do we grow our roots deeper if we've got stony ground? Well, let me just tell you. Like, it's not going to be by saying, just push harder, roots, right? Just, if you would just get deeper, if I would just be stronger. That's what a lot of times we do. We're like, I'm just going to try harder. I'm telling you, if you got concrete in the ground, I don't care how much the plant wants the root to go through the concrete, it's not going to do it. It'll go down, it'll hit it, it'll try to go this way and try to go that way, it'll try to go around, it won't go through it. You want to know how you're going to get stronger roots? You got to remove the obstacles. You got to remove the obstructions from your life. You got to put the work in of like removing whatever is keeping you from being rooted in Him. What is it that's keeping you from actually growing? Now, I know you're not actually going to tell me, but you'll tell yourself, what is it that's actually keeping me from my roots being deep enough to stand when the wind blows? Like, you're going to have to actually put some work in. Like, do the hard things. Be obedient. Use the tools available. The Word of God, the local church, the different structures that we have to continue to grow in Christ, those are tools. Like, if you've got big rocks in the ground, I'm just saying, like, Brenton says this all the time, especially when he has to do things.
Good.
Yeah, he says this all the time, like, when he has to do the dishes. When he has to, there's certain pans in our house that we wash by hand, right? And he's like, it is 2025. Why is there any dish in the world that cannot go in the dishwasher? He absolutely hates it, right? And so here's what I'll say. It's 2025. We've got so many tools available. Stop trying to do all the work with like the brunt of your back. Use the tools that you have available. You want to move the rocks out of the ground? Get a stinking shovel, right? Use something. Use a bar. Use something to move these things. Use the Word of God. Stop just saying, well, if I just try harder and I just do better, and you're not going to, right? I'm just saying, like, you're not that good, and neither am I. The Word of God, the tools that He's given us, the local church, the good counsel that you can get, those are how you're actually going to be able to move the big things and actually grow deeper. The thorny soil, because I'm running out of time, like always. The biggest problem here is distraction. I'm sure you don't struggle with distraction, right? Because TikTok's closed now, so you got all this free time, right? Right? I don't know. I told Hallie last night, I'm like, the best thing that could happen to the world we live in is if they shut all those stupid things down. Anyway, I'm just saying. The biggest problem here is distraction. So let me say, you got soil in your heart. Are you planning for weeds to grow? Are you planning for thorns to grow? Because if you're not, you're a fool. Like, you plant a garden and let me just pray. Let me just say, you plant a garden. You can even use new dirt and all this. Just pray really hard that, God, don't let any weeds grow. And then just tell me what happens. You have to play an active part in your sanctification. You should be. It's not if the storm's going to come, it's when the storm's going to come. Set your affections on thing above, right? Allow God to do these things. Keep your eyes on the prize. Don't be lazy. Complacency in Christianity is like cancer. It eats us up from the inside out. Like, don't be lazy. Pick a few weeds every day and you're not going to get overwhelmed. You go on vacation for a week, you come back, you might as well plan on letting the garden go because the weeds already took over. I'm just saying, like, it's a daily thing. You got to get in this thing daily. Just a little bit every day, because a little bit every day and you don't get overwhelmed. But I'm telling you what, if you don't invest in your marriage, if you don't invest in this, if you're not constantly doing a little bit, then don't be surprised when all of a sudden there's like everything in my life is falling apart. Big surprise, right? You're not doing a little bit every day. You're complacent. You're lazy. That's just what happens. I'm just saying, like, I'd rather somebody tell me like it is than sugarcoat it, right? Stop being distracted, right? The soil here is great if you take care of it. The problem is we don't take care of it. We're like, oh, I got a good church. You're right, the soil here is great. But if you don't take care of it, like, let me just tell you, bad things happen here too to people who don't take care of their field. Just saying. And then there's good soil. It's continuously worked. You know, you ever seen a farmer out there? Like, they've already taken the crops out of the ground and it's like, they don't have to do anything until they plant again. And the next thing you know, they're out there like plowing the ground. I'm like, they're just burning up diesel fuel. Like, why are they even messing with it right now? Because that's what you have to do with good soil. You constantly take care of it, right? It gets nutrients to stay good. They're putting stuff on it, fertilizer. It's worked over diligently. That's how it stays good, right? Just like any other soil can be made good soil can be made bad if you don't take care of it. So here's the point. This is it. Like, the whole thing. You can have whatever kind of soil you want in your heart, even if it's not there right now. You can actually do what it is that God told you to do. But you're actually going to have to do something. Like, you're actually going to have to put in the work. I get it. Life is hard. And Christianity, I'll just say it, it makes it harder sometimes. If at any point you feel like you're overwhelmed, just for like 3 seconds, think about what Christ endured so that you could even have the opportunity to go through what you're going through. And maybe that'll give you some perspective. Like, it's going to be hard. You want to know how to actively do what it is that God told you to do? I'm just going to give you some things. And I really wanted to hammer this home. But I'll just tell you, prepare the soil. Change your heart. Stop being the victim in every circumstance in your life. Right? Decide that, you know what? I'm not. Because I promise, if you're saved, you're no longer the victim. You're actually the hero in the story. God did the work for you. Like, live victoriously, like the Bible says. Do the hard things. Well, I don't want to get up and read. I don't want to do this. I don't want to train my kids. Okay, well then, I don't feel bad for you when your kids act like hellions in the Walmart checkout line, right? It's because you asked for this, and they're just giving you what you asked for, right? In every scenario of your life, it is the exact same thing. Because you chose not to do the hard things, because we're lazy, because we're complacent, and then when things start to blow up, we're like, oh my gosh, why is this happening? Why does God always let this happen to me? God is allowing it to happen to you. And you know why you're the victim? Because you chose to be. Stop choosing to be the victim and you won't be there. Do the hard things. Be obedient. I could just say that one like 7 times. Just be obedient. Stop quitting. When you make a commitment to do something in the Lord, stop quitting. You know, I'm sure by now. I hope not. I'm sure by now somebody who said, you know what, I'm going to read through the Bible this year with the Past Point class, somebody's quit already. Stop quitting. Pick back up. Tomorrow is Monday. Pick back up and go from there. Make a plan and do it. Stop making excuses. Follow through. Trust the Lord. Right? If God is not rooted on the throne of your heart, you are going to fail 100 times out of 100. It's guaranteed. Because you're trying to do it in your own will, you have to allow God to sit on the throne of your heart. You want to know how you're going to do this year, whatever it is that God told you to do? By being obedient. By saying, you know what, I will do the hard things. I will stop doing the stupid things. I will take the next step. I will do what God asked me to do. I will be obedient. I will just fill in the blank, right? Change the soil one day at a time. You play an active role in your sanctification. The only one who decides if you're going to be obedient today is you. It's not your spouse, right? It's not, you get to decide today. Am I going to be obedient? It might suck, right? The things that God's telling you to be obedient to, like, ladies, I feel for you sometimes. You know, you have to submit to some of the hardest headed husbands, right? But you get to decide, am I going to be obedient? You know, men, we are given some of the craziest tasks in the world sometimes. We're the only people who get to decide if we're going to be obedient, right? You have to make the decision. So stop, like, I'm over time. I'm not going to quit doing it because God was gracious to me. And so I'll keep doing it. But I'm really, really tired of hearing the same broken record from the same people in the same church, following the same God. Well, you don't understand my situation. You don't understand this. You don't understand. I get it. And the adversary's a punk and all of those things. But I also know that the answer is in the book. And if you're not going to read the book, and if you're not going to submit to it, then like, why are you sound like a broken record? Now, if you're going to tell me that you're taking active steps to listen to the Word and apply those things, man, I can work with that. Like, we can do something with that, and we can get more new steps and new things. But if you're going to be so stubborn to say, I just don't know why this keeps happening, and I don't know why my life looks like this, how much have you been reading? Well, it's not a lot lately. Well, no kidding then. It's big surprise. Paige and I have made this commitment this year, and I will be done. And but just so anybody knows that comes for counsel for different things, and I'm not saying don't come from counsel, because that's what we're here for. And it's mostly not the Past Point class, right? It's just in general. Anybody who comes for counsel in any aspect of any situation in life, the first question that we're going to ask is, how's your relationship in the Word of God? Because I guarantee what you're going through correlates to that. And maybe I'll be proved wrong. So far, not yet. I'm just saying, like, big surprise. Like, I don't know. It starts here and it ends here. Okay? It's got to be the book. Yeah, it's got to be the book. Let's pray. You guys get to decide what's the soil of your heart looks like. Yeah, Mitch.
It's all going to think Proverbs 12:11. It says, he that tilleth his land shall be satisfied with bread.
Amen. Like, God is going to call us to a lot of things, guys. And they're going to seem like hard things. We get to decide if we're going to be obedient or if we're going to quit. Like, I can't decide it for you. But I really want the Pass Point class. I've got some plans this year. Like, the country song says, big, big plans, right? I got some plans. And it's going to start with us being obedient because I can't do it on my own. So just be obedient. Let's pray. Father, I love you. I thank you for today. Lord, I just thank you for your word. It is the answer to all of the questions that we didn't even know that we had. And so, Lord, I pray that we would submit to it, that we would be obedient to it, that we would just follow you and stop just with all of the minutia, and that we would just be obedient and say, Lord, what is it today? I'm going to do that today. And we would do the next hard thing, even though we don't want to, because, Lord, you bless obedience. Every time you bless obedience. So, Lord, I pray that you would just send us out as lights in a dark world. Be with Pastor Brian as he preaches today. And you know, as they travel out, I pray that you would just give them, allow them to do all the things that you've called them to do. Pray for the relationships and all the things that happen. And, Lord, I just pray you get the glory, more than anything. Because if we're doing any of this for our own glory, it's all going to burn, Lord. So I pray that we're all giving it back to you and that you would just, allow it to be just a sweet savor to you, because Lord, that's what we're doing, is we're just giving it all back. I pray this all in Christ's name. Amen.
You have to quote at least one country song from the whole next week. Actually, wait.